Welcome to the War Room, Thursday, August 23rd, 2018. And I'm your host, Owen Schroyer, and my head is absolutely spinning as I come on live with you today. I'm going to come back and try to be focused in the next segment and cover all of the things that I need to cover here. But first, let me go to these clips that perfectly illustrate how the current Democrat Party and left in America are nothing more than a bunch of two-faced phonies who have double standards on every issue. Listen to what President Trump had to say in clip 9 about Molly Tibbetts.
We were permanently separated, not just for a week or a month.
I was at home when I got the phone call from the hospital.
He was hit head-on by a repeat illegal alien criminal.
Known gang member came in the back and he fired the gun and struck my son in the arm.
Trying to get away, he drove over my son's body. He backed up, driving over him a second time.
Rear-ended his estimated 62 miles an hour.
He strangled him and let him go to see if he was breathing. Strangled him over and over and over until death.
And he dragged Matthew a quarter of a mile to his death.
He rear-ended her, killing her.
He went to a field and put Josh out and put the gasoline on him and lit him on fire.
Previously deported about a year and a half to 2 years before.
This man wasn't supposed to be here.
My separation.
My separation.
My separation.
My separation.
My separation.
My separation.
My separation is permanent.
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 Our separation is permanent.
So that was put out by the White House today on their YouTube channel, Twitter, etc. The Democrats cry about families at the border being separated, even though that's the choice they make when they leave their country. This was law that actually was put into law by the ACLU, where adults have to go to DHS and the kids had to go to HHS. You can thank the leftist ACLU for that. But that doesn't matter to them. Family separation doesn't matter to them. It's all a political issue to create a voter bloc to vote Democrat. It's the only chance they have of survival. So there is one example of the total phoniness and double standard of the Democrat Party these days. But what do they call Trump and Trump supporters? Well, they call them Nazis. So let's go to clip 15 now, and let's hear from actual Holocaust survivors what they have to say about Trump the Nazi.
I'm here with my favorite people in the world. I always tell you that, right? With people who are very, very special, people who went through the kind of things that we don't wish on anyone, who went through the Holocaust, who went through losing family, survivors, special, super special people. And we had a Nazi living in Queens up until about 36 hours ago. In Queens, New York, in America. And everybody talked about it, the different presidents, we care, we're going to do. But no one did anything. It was talk, cheap. Talk is cheap. Action is what counts. And finally, we want to thank you, Mr. President. The survivors want to say, thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. President.
So there's a group of Holocaust survivors thanking President Trump, the Nazi. Let's go to another clip of Don Dove Hinkind on Fox News thanking Trump.
Cheap. You had 8 years of Obama. You had Bush before that. Everybody said, yeah, we got to get rid of this guy. But nobody wants him. But the bottom line is, if you make this a priority, it's a moral issue.
Right.
Okay. And President Trump, God bless him. You know, we got to talk, you know, there's a word called tachlis, bottom line. Getting things done. You can talk and talk is cheap. Getting things done is what President Trump just did. It is huge. And it's not about being a Democrat, Republican.
Right.
As a Democrat,
so that's a Democrat,
I say to
Jewish
my
Holocaust survivor and other Holocaust survivors in New York thanking President Donald Trump. So why don't you take the whole no Trump, no Nazi USA, why don't you take that left and shove it up your ass, okay?
Great
incredible time to be alive here on this Thursday, August 23rd, 2018. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. This is The War Room. My co-host, Roger Stone, joins me in the second hour. Tons of news to cover. I'm also going to be joined by Brian Green in the first hour, a police officer or former police officer that has quite a story. And then Professor Daryl Hamamoto joins me in the third hour to talk, well, a wide range of issues. Now, I don't even know where to start today. Well, I know where I have to start, even though there's tons of news breaking right now. I mean, if people only knew the kind of crap. Oh, I mean, DNC operatives, folks, are infiltrating everything right now, and they're trying to sabotage the entire rejuvenation of America. I just can't even believe it. And so I've got video clips, I've got all this news I got to get to and everything, and it's all important, but I have to come on here now every day and address the audience of this show to tell them we're now banned off YouTube. So that was nice while it lasted. We're now banned off YouTube. Right when our YouTube channel was actually taking off. And what was really happening is because this was happening because we were spread so thin almost, where we had about 10 different channels rebroadcasting our live streams, re-uploading and everything. And these were main channels that already had audiences that had already been rebroadcasting Alex Jones and David Knight and everybody. Or even, you know, Sean Hannity, Michael Savage, and other talk shows. But then all of them got erased. All those other accounts got erased because they were carrying Alex Jones. So it created a choke point at the War Room's YouTube account where we used to upload a full show and get maybe 1,000 views. We uploaded yesterday's full show. Within 3 hours, it had more than 5,000 views. And usually it's not till 24 hours till everyone gets there. It probably would have hit close to 15,000 views. I think we have maybe 50,000 subscribers on the War Room channel. We've been around for almost a year. We've been in and out of censorship, in and out of being able to live broadcast. And so then they just terminated the channel. Now, we expected this to happen. In fact, I rerouted warroom.show about 3 weeks ago. So warroom.show now takes you to our real.video archives, which is where you can still find the full show. Now, we're currently still allowed to live broadcast on Twitter and Facebook and also, you know, tweet and post to Facebook for now. But Infowars.com/show is going to be the final place where you can find us. And warroom.show is where you can go for all of our archives. Now, if you're asking me, what did you do to get kicked off yesterday? Well, 2 days ago, Alex Jones joined me live on air. I think that that triggered Media Matters to file complaints saying, look, Alex is working around your band. He went on the War Room channel. You need to terminate the War Room channel. Boom, the next day, YouTube does it. So that is the most likely scenario. If it was a content issue, which they're claiming was community guidelines, they don't give you a reason, they don't tell you the quote, they don't give you a timestamp, they don't show you anything, they just ban you. So if it was any of the content, it would have been perhaps the videos I played that Tariq Nasheed put on Twitter of a black person beating a white person because they're a racist. And then I called Tariq Nasheed a racist domestic terrorist, which I'll stand by. I don't care if they ban me off every platform for telling you the truth. I'm going to tell the truth. Or if it was me talking about Maddie McCann and suggesting to this audience that you go out and research Maddie McCann and look at the sketches of the alleged abductors of Maddie McCann to see if they look familiar. Now, it's that type of content in my YouTube blitz, which I wasn't going to talk about this now, but in fact, you know what? I still can't talk about it. I have to wait till it's over. But if it was a content issue, it was actually probably that instead of the Tariq Nasheed tweets. And I'll just tell you, I'm kind of testing it right now. If you mention anything about Pizzagate, ladies and gentlemen, on a live broadcast, they're shutting you down. And it really just makes you wonder how real all of it was. It really just affirms your sneaking suspicions as you're looking into all this stuff that, wow, I have just started tiptoeing around the rabbit hole of pedophile networks that operate at the most elite levels of government and entertainment worldwide. And you'll notice something else for people that are more in tune. It's the most groundbreaking revelations that we break here at InfoWars, or that we're willing to stick our neck out and question, like just covering the Pizzagate stuff, not breaking any of it, but covering all of the hysteria and madness and evidence. I mean, look at the WikiLeaks. And then look at Sandy Hook, where even after Alex Jones has made a dozen retractions and apologized and said everything they want him to say, they still say he claims it never happened, and they still say he's bullying the families by saying it never happened, even though he retracted that over 2 years ago, and it's only the media saying that. And you just start to see patterns and developments in media and responses, and you know when you're over the target. It's like that old that metal detector people use at the beach. You're scouring the beach. How do you know if there's precious metals? Well, you wait and you hear the ding. That's the ding. How do you know Pizzagate is real? Whenever you go over Pizzagate, so you get where I'm going with that. But I'm already digressing. Now, this is shocking. It's like, what is even the biggest news today? It's all huge. But look at what is coming out of the state of Iowa here. So Molly Tibbetts gets murdered, gets killed by a non-citizen, Christian Bahiana Rivera. Everybody's heard this by now. The federal government just came out and said they have no record of this individual. Zero. Nothing. But look at what a scumbag lawyer from Iowa is doing right now. They are now issuing a gag order. This is out of the law office of Alan M. Richards, attorney at law. They are now issuing a gag order on media and anyone else saying you are not allowed to say Christian is an illegal alien or in the country illegally. Are you hearing this? This is a scumbag attorney now thinking he can censor free speech. You're not allowed to say my client is in the country illegally, even though he's totally undocumented. The federal government just broke the story. So he is an illegal immigrant. What does the lawyer say? This is not an illegal immigrant. He's not in the country. He's not documented. You cannot say he's undocumented. But look at number three in their 9 points of this motion for a gag order. I'm reading you directly from this gag order from attorney at law Alan M. Richards, by my estimation, a scumbag attorney. The scumbag lawyer that you knew was out there. That scumbag. Number three, sad and sorry Trump has weighed in on this matter in national media, which will poison the entire possible pool of jury members. You scumbag. Alan Richards, you scumbag lawyer. You should be removed from the bar. You should be totally removed for you to think you can gag order the American people for not reporting the truth. And then to come on here and say, how dare Trump address the murder of one of the biggest national stories of the year, a missing student, a missing college student, a young girl goes missing, one of the biggest stories, turns out she was killed by a human that wasn't even documented, came across the border illegally, murdered this girl, and a scumbag attorney is going to file a motion for a gag order, say, you can't say he was here illegally, you can't say he was undocumented, even though that's the truth. So you now have total scum lawyers who are trying to motion for gag orders so that you can't report the truth.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Folks, this is sick. No, I'm not talking about a corrupt attorney who needs to be revoked from the bar, who says you can't call my client illegal or undocumented, even though that's the truth. You know, he just abducted, probably raped, and murdered Molly Tibbetts. We need more of those people here. Just ask Elizabeth Warren. No, this is another sick, disgusting story where Rand Paul, one of the patriots left in this government, is doing everything he possibly can to stop government funding of Planned Parenthood. But guess who stood in his way to continue the funding of Planned Parenthood? The damn Republicans! That is sick. That is sick. And the fact that Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell are silent on this issue is a shame. Is a damn shame. But it gets even worse. Let me tell you something. First of all, and they know everything they do at Planned Parenthood is basically illegal, folks. What am I talking about? First of all, it is illegal for Planned Parenthood to get government funding. They work around that by telling you that they earmark government money for services and women's services. No, that's bullcrap. So that means that you have all this earmarked money for your services, which means you take all the other money out of that and abort children. So no. I don't care what dollar you use to pay to murder that child, you're getting government funding. That's illegal. And so Rand Paul says, we have to stop this. We have to stop this government-funded genocide. And guess who stops him? The Republicans. It is sick. Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan are sick. You are sick that you're not speaking out against this. Stopping the defunding of Planned Parenthood. And you want to know what makes it even more sick? And this is how it's even more illegal, ladies and gentlemen. The Democrat Party, you know, I'm going to be pissed off all day. How is it that the Democrat Party is going to sit here with numerous campaign violations? Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, all of them, Barack Obama, all guilty of campaign finance violation. All paid fines to the tune of millions of dollars. You know how many campaign finance violations Donald Trump has? Zero. But if you followed the mainstream news and you asked the general sheeple out there, guess who they would say is guilty of campaign finance? Donald Trump. Boom. There's your next street video. There's your next street video. Someone go out and shoot the video. Go out on a college campus. Go out on the streets of New York. Say, of these four individuals, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, and Hillary, or Bernie Sanders, Donald Trump, which one is guilty of campaign finance? They'll all tell you Donald Trump, even though he's the only one that's not. There's your on the street video. Go shoot it. Right there. But it gets even worse. So not only do the Democrats break campaign finance law all the time, they take money from Planned Parenthood, ladies and gentlemen. In the 2018 midterm election cycle, Planned Parenthood has given $310,000 in campaign donations, 100% to the Democrat Party. Tell me how that's legal. Tell me how that's not racketeering. Tell me how that's not theft. So go out and vote in the midterms, vote Republican so that the Democrats can stop murdering children. And I'm going to tell you something else. I am so fired up now that I am doing the Stop Government Funding of Abortion on Saturday, November 10th at 1 p.m. in Austin, Texas at the Planned Parenthood Center on Ben White Boulevard. Saturday, November 10th, come out, stand up for the unborn children. And can we at least stop the government from robbing us and paying for abortion and funding the Democrat Party? Do you understand now? Your taxpayers, folks, this is not rhetoric. Your taxpayers go to abortion and to the Democrat Party, and you have no choice. How is that legal? How is every American not so fed up with this garbage that this still goes on? How is it that Rand Paul tries to defund Planned Parenthood that you pay for, which is totally illegal, and the frickin' Republicans block him, even though They get zero money from Planned Parenthood, and the Democrats get hundreds of thousands of dollars. So you now, via your tax dollars, fund the abortion of children and the Democrat Party. See why I'm so ticked off half the time I cover this frickin' news? Because I get robbed blind by my government, I get lied to by my mainstream media, and then I get attacked every frickin' day. Oh, hey, how you doing today, Owen? Oh, not much. My family got threatened. I got threatened. I got people threatening to shoot me. And my YouTube channel just got banned. Great day. Oh, by the way, they also steal all my money to fund Planned Parenthood abortions and the Democrat Party that is anti-America. Yeah, that's my life. Woo! So that's what we deal with. So Saturday, November 10th at 1 p.m. in Austin, Texas, I'm holding a Planned Parenthood protest. Stop government funding of abortion. Stop government funding of the Democrats needs to be next via Planned Parenthood. I mean, this is so twisted, man. Oh, my God. All right. So I've got Brian Greene going to join me in the next segment. And you won't believe his story, but we're going to hear from him on the other side. And then there's some new propaganda coming out of Florida Gulf Coast University that we'll talk with him about as well. You're not going to believe it. It's just so ridiculous, this notion now. I mean, honestly, okay, like this whole thing with racism, man. I'm sorry, but what went... It's just so ridiculous because, I mean, you're allowed to be racist against white people, but everyone's racist against black people unless they're black. If you're white, you're a racist. Just ask anybody like Tariq Nasheed and all the videos that he posts when he celebrates racial violence in this country, and you're not going to believe the propaganda that's now coming out of Florida Gulf Coast. Is there racism in America? Is there inequality? Is there injustice? Is there? Of course there is. You're never going to live in a perfect world. We've sacrificed the pipe dream of perfection for the reality of freedom, for the reality of independence and prosperity. We recognized years ago the pipe dream of the perfect world doesn't exist. Life isn't fair. But damn it, if we're just free and independent and have low taxes and small government, at least we can control our own destiny. But they're taking it from us now. They literally steal your money and put it in the pocket of Democrats. They steal your money and then murder 30% of my generation, and they call it abortion, and it's all funded by your taxpayer. But I didn't even plug, and I need to plug, folks. We're funded by you at InfoWarsStore.com. We've got huge specials right now. I mean, it's just, I can't even plug when I'm this enraged. Just go to InfoWarsStore.com. Just search it, folks. I mean, we've got household items, shampoo, body wash, toothpaste, toothbrushes, sleep aids, protein. I mean, it's all at InfoWarsStore. We have a huge, massive store. It's huge. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. You're going to find something that you use every day.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show. It's time to take a stand. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream
right now
at InfoWars.com/show.
All right. I'm already all fired up today. It's just been a crazy day. Every day is crazy now. And, you know, it's just nice. You know, why are you complaining, right? Why am I complaining that my tax dollars go to the murder of 33% of my generation via abortion? Why am I upset that my tax dollars go to the Democrat Party that run against the First Amendment, against the Second Amendment, against America, against our borders, and total hate for Trump? You know, I should just accept that. I should just accept the fact that the left has been so hyped up by the media that they threaten violence against us every day. I should be happy that my tax dollars that I work to earn a living and my tax dollars go towards murdering my colleagues, 30% of my generation, and towards the Democrat Party that wants that murder and hates America. We should not be upset about this. We should not be upset about the fact that Robert Mueller is now above the government. He is now his own wing of the government, above the presidency, above everything else, and he can do whatever he wants and get whatever files he needs to try to bring in whoever he can to get his political agenda done, which is the Democrat agenda. We should be perfectly fine with the political prisoners in this country right now. There is nothing to see here, folks. In fact, Florida Gulf Coast University puts out a racism and law enforcement class, in which the course description says ways in which white supremacy relates to U.S. law enforcement. Okay, so you combine that indoctrination with the indoctrination of the inner city youth and the rap industry telling them to shoot the cops. No wonder you have so much hatred against police officers in this country. No wonder you have so much racism against white people in this country. So Brian Green joins me now, and Brian has an interesting story. Now, Brian, you've been affected by this directly. You've been in, I believe it was the Coast Guard, and you were also a police officer. And when Antifa found out who you were, they decided to dox you. And now they've also, basically have attempted to destroy your life. So Brian Green, tell your story.
Well, I've been a deputy with the Plaquemines Parish Sheriff's Office for 4 years and 11 months. I've recently, you know, become a member of the Proud Boys organization. And I posted a screenshot of myself in uniform with "The West is the best" on my picture. And someone took offense to that, decided to tag my employer as well as all the local news organizations in that, and start a campaign to get me fired.
And so now if you just join a group, you know, on Facebook or a social group or what have you, the left targets you and goes after your very livelihood. How was their campaign?
Oh, well, I'm currently sitting around the house with nothing to do because I'm unemployed.
So they successfully doxed you and then got you fired from your job, all because you just wanted to join a social group.
Pretty much. They made claims that I'm a racist and that the Proud Boys is a hate group because it's designated by the SPLC, who we all know is not exactly the most credible group at this time.
No, probably more like the least credible.
Yeah. So they went after me, and I was terminated for a violation of the sheriff's office social media policy, which is the polite way of saying they caved to the public pressure of you know, crybabies that don't even live in our parish, saying that, you know, I'm a racist and that they know everything about me.
Now, why is it that your police office has given into this, the leadership over there in your jurisdiction? Why is it that they gave into this?
Well, I mean, like I said, I don't deny that I did violate the social media policy by posting a picture of myself in uniform. It says in there that we're not allowed to, you know, take pictures in uniform with anything that could potentially discredit the sheriff's office. That being said, I don't believe the statement "the West is the best" is anything that would discredit a sheriff's office. To me, it means America's the best, which I think it is.
Well, hold on. How do you know you're not talking about the Major League Western Division in the American League? How do you know they're not talking about the Western Conference of, you know, the NHL?
I mean, I'm pretty open. I'm pretty open book when it comes to saying that I believe America is the best. I think if I were to take a picture with a flag and the statement "America is the best," if someone were to take offense to that, I wouldn't have been terminated over.
No, but see, that's my point exactly. You could have posted "the West is the best" and been talking about the NHL or your favorite sports conference, and it would have been totally acceptable. Oh, but because you stand up for America and you're proud of the American culture, you see, you have to be removed. Oh, and there's Tariq Nasheed. Oh boy, when that racist gets a hold of you, you know he's going to try to ruin your life. That guy is pathetic, man.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of anything positive that comes out of his mouth.
No, unless you hate white people.
Well, hold on just a second.
Oh, it looks like Tariq Nasheed is now directly interfering.
All right.
So So I guess for you now, I mean, you're not going to be welcome back in the law enforcement because of the social media violation. Is that what it looks like?
I mean, right now, as far as it goes, I'm a hot commodity and no one really wants to get burned. I've reached out to a couple other law enforcement agencies and, you know, even though it was a violation of social media policy and not, you know, being tied to a hate group or anything like that, that they don't want to deal with that right now.
Now, this is pretty incredible because, I mean, you could say I'm playing devil's advocate here, but this is a real life situation where you've had dozens of cases documented on film that people have seen of what, in my view, is blatant police brutality. I think it happened to Eric Gardner. I think it happened to some of the names are slipping my name. Kelly Thomas, the young girl at the beach in New Jersey. These are videos, cases where I think that you could say, wow, okay, those police were out of line, but they never get fired. They never lose their job. They always seem to maintain their job, and that's okay to some people, and other people are outraged about it. So there's this huge issue like, oh my gosh, you know, they killed Eric Garner. They all kept their job. They killed Kelly Thomas. They all kept their job. There's other cases out there that were a little maybe tougher to determine, but they're all on video and the police officers always get their job. Yeah, here's one of a police officer beating down a girl on the beach, just beating her senseless. So to me, you look at something like that and I say, wow, that's a police officer that maybe we need to look into, maybe suspend and maybe just relieve from duty. They're out of control. But no, a social media post. Oh, God forbid the man post on social media. We don't want the police getting a bad rap from social media. I mean, again, not, you know, kind of to play devil's advocate, but when you have cases like Isaiah Hammett in St. Louis, who gets raided and shot up and killed in his home, a no-knock raid. I mean, you have all these cases that the left gets upset about, and maybe rightfully so, maybe not, but like the police never seem to make a big fuss about that. Oh, but a social media post to terminate him immediately. I mean, that just, am I off base here? That just doesn't seem right.
I mean, it definitely seems like it's very easy to target someone online and, you know, anyone can cry racist. And the hardest thing in the world is to disprove that you're a racist. I mean, what are you going to say? Oh, well, look at how many friends that I have, you know, that are people of color. No, because the first thing they're going to say is, well, that's, you know, that's what a racist would say. That's your beard.
Yeah. Chunk Yogurt from the Young Turds was on C-SPAN mm-hmm. yesterday and said something about how Trump was a racist and goes, oh, and, you know, he's talking about Trump being racist. He goes, I have people tell me, well, didn't you see Trump is having Trump has a lot of black people in the White House. Trump is working with a lot of black people. He's hired black people. He's done a lot of great things for black people. And Chunk Yogurt just goes, yeah, okay, good for Trump, his token black people. It's like, why? Even when people come together, even when black and white people come together, the left still says, nope, racist. So you can't appease these people. There is no appeasing these people. Honestly, and I've said this before, and this is, you want the God's honest truth here, folks. The left wants everyone dead. I mean, that it sounds radical, but if you follow the pattern of events, it will always lead to death. Every time it leads to death. Look at them. They stand up more for the illegal immigrant that abducted, probably raped, and murdered Molly Tibbetts than they do Molly Tibbetts. That's these people's mindset, folks. They're totally deranged. They belong in mental institutions.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
All right. I'm really on one today. I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to get my blood pressure down. But I need to remember and try to plug here because we're under total censorship, folks, and here's what the people censoring us have learned, and this is measurable. Basically, what they do is censor us off the major platforms on the internet, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Google, Apple, which is where 90% conservatively of web traffic and web marketing is done. And they know this is the psychology, and it's measurable via the data. About 50% of the people that would regularly tune in to us on, say, a YouTube or Facebook or Twitter, once we're gone from there, they won't do the extra effort to find us. They're lazy. They don't get it. They don't know where to find us. And so they've done the logistics and they know that's about the data. So they view that as a valued attack that shrinks our audience, or maybe doesn't shrink our audience per se when it comes to our loyal audience, but shrinks our ability to market our products and to hit new markets and to find new potential customers. So they're trying to strangle us right now from being able to fund. And that's what this really is. Now, the traffic, obviously, at Infowars.com/show has skyrocketed. And it just saddens me when we get back on YouTube, we upload a full show, and I'm going through some of the comments, and people are like, oh, look, the war room's back. Well, we never went anywhere. They just banned us from YouTube. But now we're banned again, and a lot of the people are going to be like, oh, I guess the war room's gone again. Nowhere to find it. So that's why they're doing this. And that's why your support at InfoWarsStore.com is so important. Now, for the rest of August, I've told you this is my favorite T-shirt at InfoWarsStore.com. It's the InfoWars Hexagon logo T-shirt. It's my favorite T-shirt. And with coupon code WARROOM, it is $14.95. With coupon code WARROOM, flat rate $14.95 for the InfoWars Hexagon logo T-shirt. So it's kind of like, it's almost like I'm marketing this as like the Hulk shirt now. Because I'm just screaming and getting angry in this shirt. So now it's like you want to feel like the Hulk, and I've got the green around me and everything. But it's my favorite shirt. People love it. They're telling me that they love the comfort of it. And with coupon code WARROOM, $14.95 at InfoWarsStore.com. But I'm telling you, get to InfoWarsStore.com and get this T-shirt before the end of August, because the coupon code WARROOM will be expired. So take advantage of coupon code WARROOM with the InfoWars Hexagon logo T-shirt right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And while you're there, do you wash your hair with shampoo? Do you brush your teeth with toothpaste? Yes, you do? Oh, thank God. So go to InfoWarsStore.com and try Emrick's Essentials All-Natural Shampoo. Go try the Super Blue Fluoride-Free Toothpaste. It's all at InfoWarsStore.com. These are household items that everybody needs, everybody uses. Why not shop at InfoWarsStore.com? I bet if you go to InfoWarsStore.com, you're going to find stuff there that you didn't know we had that you use every day, or a supplement that you like. So just go shop InfoWarsStore.com, and you're going to find something that you love, something that you didn't know we had, or something amazing that could change your life. So it's all at InfoWarsStore.com. All right. I've got Brian Green joining me. Now, Brian Green lost his job as a police officer because he posted on social media. Now, while he admits he did violate their terms of service, which perhaps is fair, you can be the judge of that, this was clearly a political attack. It was spearheaded by Antifa. And again, it's not like Brian Green choked anybody to death. He never shot anybody to death. He didn't have some big national case because of some scene that he was involved in. He just was proud to be American, posted on social media about it, and so they fired him from that. So it just doesn't seem right to me. But when, let me ask you this, Brian, when did, is this a national policy? Is this a local policy that you can't post while in uniform?
So it's our local sheriff's office policy that you can't post anything that would bring discredit upon the sheriff's office. Now, I mean, that's a very vague statement.
Very ambiguous.
Absolutely. It's very ambiguous as to what would bring discredit upon the sheriff's office. I mean, because like I said, I consider saying the West is the best is akin to saying America's the best. So if saying America's the best would bring a discredit to a sheriff's office, I think we're already in trouble.
But that's basically what it's implying. That's why it leaves it so ambiguous as to say, you know what, somebody might view that as offensive, so you're not allowed to post that. I can understand if maybe you don't want people posting in uniform. I think that maybe there could be a fair argument there. But to say that you're not even allowed to have free speech anymore on the internet just because you're a police officer, that's not right.
I agree.
So what do you think, I mean, what's next for you? I guess, are you gonna continue to try to get back into law enforcement, or are you going to have to look elsewhere now?
You know, I've got some resumes out there floating around. It doesn't really look too promising right now. I may just have to, you know, fall back on my GI Bill, go back to school for a bit, and maybe I'll get a gender studies degree.
Or, yeah, social injustice degree, too, you know?
Yeah.
All right, Brian. Well, hey, Godspeed, man. I'm sorry that you're falling victim to these attacks, but this is what the left is doing in America right now. They're trying to ruin people's lives. And you know what, Brian? I would bet I would use this time and I would try to maybe build some momentum off of this, what I believe is a political firing of you, maybe not directly, but that's at the roots of this. I would use this to maybe promote yourself, promote your story. And I'd be shocked if there isn't some patriot listening out there that ends up offering you a pretty good job, Brian. So that's what I would do if I was you. But Godspeed, and thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, so there goes Brian Greene, and we shared his story here today on The War Room. Now, I want to go to this. So the NFL comes out and says, we're going to make a rule that says you have to stand for the national anthem. The players say, screw you. We're not standing for the anthem. So the NFL says, okay, fine. You don't have to stand for the anthem. Some teams say they will stand for the anthem, like the Cowboys. Smart move. But here's the thing. And so then they try to say Trump and conservatives in America are telling the NFL players they can't kneel for the anthem. No, we're telling them that we think it's disgraceful and embarrassment and a shame on this country and the people that died for it that you would kneel for the national anthem. And we wish you wouldn't embarrass the country like that. I mean, you know, we're consumers. We can choose to turn the TV off. So we'll see if that happens. My guess is NFL attendance this year will be at an all-time low for two reasons, maybe three. One, they're going to see the kneelers again. They're going to leave. Two, they're going to see a male cheerleader and leave. And three, all of these new rules, you're not even watching football anymore with the non-ability to hit, and there's a break every 5 minutes for TV. I mean, I remember I used to go to football games in the 90s, and football games, I mean, it was nonstop action, less penalties. Now there's a timeout every time a whistle blows. There's a flag every time they snap the ball. It's not even football anymore. So I think that the ratings, maybe the TV ratings may stagnate, may go down. But I would guess attendance for the NFL this year is going to be way, way down, if not the only reprieve being the Oakland Raiders and the Los Angeles Rams, because there's energy around those franchises moving. And so that usually creates some hype in the stadium. But we'll see. But let me get to it. So now, though, because of the anthem protest and how bad it is for the ratings, CBS, Fox, and NBC are no longer going to air the anthem during the broadcast. So they're just going to act like the kneeling isn't happening. That's their answer to this. But actually, we have the answer. So you're actually going to get the exclusive right now. The NFL has just announced they have a new policy when it comes to the national anthem, and I think that this is going to work for them. This is an exclusive we're getting right now from the NFL. So let's go, InfoWars exclusive right here, to the brand new National Football League PSA.
Ladies, gentlemen, transhumans, transitioning humans, bigenders, and genderqueers, the National Football League and the home team are aware of social injustice and racial inequality in America. We ask that you make today's environment welcoming and tolerant for all. The NFL and its fans are very diverse, so we ask for a hate-free environment at today's game. Now, please join us in a moment of silence for all the victims of social and racial injustice, intolerance, and discrimination. Thank you. Any intolerance and insensitivity will not be tolerated at today's game, and you will be removed and banished from the facilities. Now, let's play some football.
So there you go. There is the new NFL PSA. And, you know, I'll just say this, folks. These athletes, man, they don't get a good education in college because the teachers don't care about them. They have to dedicate 10 hours a day to football, so they're not really studying. And you know what? It's understandable that a lot of these athletes, black athletes, feel disenfranchised. I can understand that. Here's the problem. If you want to empower yourself as a black person, it's not kneeling for the anthem. It's doing what Candace Owens has done. Candace Owens has more political power now than anybody else out there that's black, because she's taking advantage of her power as a black woman and the attention she gets by the media. That's how you change things for black people.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. Making talk radio great again.
This is The War Room
with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at InfoWars.com/show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the War Room. I'm about to be joined by Roger Stone in the next segment. He said he's going to take some calls today, too. Now, I don't get much into the paranormal on this show. I don't get much into the extra-worldly on this show. And I pretty much just stick to politics because I think that's what the audience wants and current events. But, and mainly because there's a lot of open area there that people can remain skeptical. And it's a bigger picture issue that I think is too wide-ranging to really bring onto this show every day. But when there's things that happen that hit the mainstream that I can document and show you that may make you question the very reality you live in, it's like a we're not in Kansas anymore moment, I'm going to try to do it. So let me just go through this craziness real quick. First of all, you've got 7 days straight of violent earthquakes hitting Earth, over 144 major earthquakes. Now, anybody who follows the earthquake scene knows that there have been a spat of major earthquakes in odd locations worldwide, and that there seems to be major tectonic shifts happening right now. Now, science is really kind of open on this issue as to what may or may not cause it. Is it another planet? Is it fracking? Is it just natural movements under Earth? Is it volcanic activity? Is it just natural tectonic movements that have always been going on? The point is, though, something major is happening. Ring of Fire map, earthquake blitz hits Pacific triangular points, mega quake fears. And now you've got a hurricane hitting Hawaii, and it looks like another hurricane about to hit the South China Sea as well. But there's all kinds of weirdness happening. But when it comes to this hurricane, now, I want to go back to, I believe it was August 9th. Now, that map is actually from today. But let's go back and roll the B-roll of this video. Now, this was from August 9th. Now, this hurricane that's hitting Hawaii, guys, I just want the B-roll from that YouTube video. This hurricane that's hitting Hawaii was actually supposed to hit 3 weeks ago, and something blasted. And again, I'm just telling you what I'm seeing here. I'm not telling you I know what's going on, and I'm going to show you the evidence. You can look at this for yourself. This is the Morfitt Integrated Microwave Imagery at CIMSS, Total Precipitatable Water. It's basically a big world radar map. 3 weeks ago, that hurricane was building in the Pacific Ocean and getting ready to hit Hawaii when something, I don't know what, came out of Antarctica and stopped it in its tracks. Can we roll that B-roll real quick so people can see what I'm talking about? Guys, I'm talking about there should be a YouTube video. It's in the email. It says in the email. All right, well, apparently we don't have that. So anyway, but it's basically the same thing. And now, yesterday morning, right around noon, pull it up again, guys. I want you to watch this graphic that I have here. Watch what comes out of Antarctica on the morning of August 22nd. Just watch this. Do you see that? That's not normal. That happened and got noticed and reported on August 9th. A hurricane was about to hit Hawaii. An energy wave came out of Antarctica and stopped it. Now, hurricane is about to hit Hawaii again, and another energy wave comes out of Antarctica. Again, I'm not telling you I understand this. I'm showing you this. Guys, do we really not have that other video? I didn't put a link in that email? All right. Well, then I blew it. Because I have the other video too, but you can at least see this one, and I'll go find it. But there you go. I'm just telling you. I don't know what it is. But folks, the Chinese admit that they manipulate the weather. They're building islands in the South China Sea. A lot of this is directed at the South China Sea. Russia admits that they manipulate the weather. And you want to sit here and talk about man-made global warming? I've got energy beams coming out of Antarctica that are either stopping or causing hurricanes. So don't tell me about a car causing global warming.
Was coming.
I am just, oh my God. gosh, I'm just on another level today. Roger Stone is joining me now. He's going to try to bring some sanity to this. But all right, Roger. They're complaining to President Trump, and I'm going to say this again. And somebody at InfoWars needs to do this. And if we're too busy right now and we can't get it done, then someone else has to do this. Someone needs to go out on the street, do a man on the street, say, of these four people, which one committed campaign finance violations? Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Bernie Sanders, Donald Trump. They'll all say Donald Trump. Donald Trump's the only one that didn't. It's YouTube gold, even though we're banned on YouTube. But we need to go do that and put it on InfoWars.com to show how the brainwashing, fake news, propaganda media works in real time. But Roger joins me now. He's aware of this, and he is now a main target of the Mueller probe. They've already got the scalps of Cohen. They got the scalp of Manafort. They're going after the scalp of Don Jr. and Roger Stone now. Roger, what is your latest on Robert Mueller, who now operates rogue above the government?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Alex Jones has predicted this for some time. They are making their move. This is it. Those who thought the president had turned the corner, those who thought, well, by Christmas, perhaps this will all be wrapped up. The president would be declared innocent. It would be over. Then it was New Year's, and then it was by the end of April. And it's clear that Robert Mueller and his partisan band of gumshoes intend to remove this president under any means necessary. They have been completely empty-handed when it comes to finding evidence of Russian collusion or any other crime in connection to the 2016 election. So now they have pressured Michael Cohen into lying. Cohen gets caught engaging in bank fraud and income tax evasion. They threaten him. Now suddenly he says Donald Trump ordered him to make payoffs to silence this former stripper. The problem, of course, is that Cohen has no corroboration. There's no other witness, no documents. It's just his word. That's how this works. They find someone, they find some extraneous crime on their part, and then they squeeze them. They tried to do this to Paul Manafort. You can see the difference in character between Manafort and Cohen. Manafort, facing 100 years in prison, refuses to make up lies about the president, refuses to bear false witness against Donald Trump, and is paying an enormous penalty for it. Cohen folds like a house of cards. Now, suddenly, even if this is a campaign finance violation, by the way, I think that's arguable. That is the new basis for an impeachment drive by Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff and the others of these partisan misfits. They already announced that if the president fires Mueller, they're going to have protests across the country. Well, I announced that we will have counter protests across the country if he doesn't fire Mr. Mueller and clean house at the Justice Department. An extraordinary statement today by Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who says, as long as he's Attorney General, politics will never infect the Justice Department. Wake up, you little demented dwarf. Right now, politics is completely at rule in your Justice Department. The problem is that Obamas are running the place, and that Rod Rosenstein is a hitman for the Mueller, Comey, regime of neocons that have dominated both parties for the last 40 years. Donald Trump needs to move aggressively, Owen, to save himself. He has the power to save his presidency. He also has millions of new jobs and 4% economic growth. His support in the country will never be stronger. This is a coup d'etat designed to take him out. And the next two guys in the sights of Mr. Mueller are Donald Trump Jr. and yours truly. That's the next development here. It's why I had to set up StoneDefenseFund.com. Oh, and this is going to cost me millions of dollars. You know, Don Trump Jr. has the money to fight. I do not, but I intend to fight anyway.
Well, and just to, again, highlight some of the good news when it comes to the economy, two stories today. Target CEO raves about the state of the economy. This is the best consumer environment he's ever seen in his career. Texas exporting more oil than importing for the first time ever. Yet somehow the prices are going up. That's called rigging the oil prices, folks. But Roger, I want to play this clip. Now is the perfect time to address exactly what you're talking about. Let's listen to Duncan Hunter, a Republican representative from the state of California, who is now being attacked by the left as well with what they're trying to say is campaign finance violations. Listen to what Duncan Hunter said today to, I believe it was ABC News.
And kind of a big deal.
Really early in the morning.
Before your court date tomorrow, your hearing.
No, this is par for the course. This is modern politics and modern media mixed in with law enforcement that has a political agenda. This is the new Department of Justice. This is the Democrats' arm of law enforcement. That's what's happening right now. And it's happening with Trump, and it's happening with me, and we're going to fight through it and win, and the people get to vote in November. So we'll see.
And you're confident that this could go to trial before then, and you could win before then?
I don't know. I think they've used every dirty trick in the book, so it'll go to court.
The late hit.
It'll go to court when they want it to, but it's the U.S. government. So the U.S. government can do what they want whenever they want to. And they've showed that against me. They've showed it against Trump. So we'll do whatever they want, which is what we've done the whole time.
You're not worried.
No, I'm not worried. I'm looking forward.
So there is Duncan Hunter again. He is being attacked right now by the left. And, you know, you can look at some of these campaign expenditures and say, you know, maybe it's not good. Maybe it's not bad. I don't think it's campaign finance violation. And if the voters liked or didn't like the way he spent the campaign funds, then they can decide when they go to the polls. But, Roger, I don't see any campaign violations here from Donald Trump. If they say it's for the attorney paying off those women, didn't come from the campaign. All those activities happened well before the campaign, and none of those people were even involved in the campaign. So it's a reach, a far reach to me, Roger. But the sad thing is the media acts like it's totally legitimate, and then their minions fall for it too.
It's a weak case without any question. Even if Donald Trump did direct Michael Cohen to do this, perhaps he was doing it to avoid embarrassment and humiliation for his wife. Maybe had nothing to do with the election. Let's get this straight. Hillary Clinton can launder $300,000 through a Democratic law firm to pay for a dossier that is used to rationalize legally spying on the president, but no one's investigating that. Yet Mother Jones is upset because I paid $3,000 to the mother of one of my friends to do blogging on behalf of a political project to advocate the election of Donald Trump, and they act like that's murder. This is an absurdity. Duncan Hunter, by the way, is a good man. I knew his father, Duncan Hunter Sr. He was a good man, too. These are trumped-up, outrageous charges trying to take out an effective conservative. I'm confident the people in his district will see through the fact that all these Republican congressmen suddenly are being investigated. Maxine Waters pressures the government to bail out a bank that she and her husband own stock in and her husband's on the board of. Oh, that's perfectly all right. She's a Democrat. The whole thing is ridiculously hypocritical. This is all they have on Donald Trump. They think they can remove him because Michael Cohen paid off a stripper. Please give me a break. Bill Clinton sold nuclear secrets to the Chinese for campaign contributions. Barack Obama sold guns to ISIS, and they want to talk about Stormy Daniels. Unbelievable.
Well, but exactly. They won't even report on that. It's like that doesn't even exist to these people because they didn't see it on CNN. That's the level of propaganda and brainwashing that we've entered. But Roger, I mean, I just feel like something's got to give here. I mean, you know, something has got to give. Do you think in the final minute of this segment, do you think that if they go after Trump's family, that will be the final straw and Trump will finally take the gloves off and choke these people out politically?
I think that could be the triggering event that causes him to fire as deep into the Justice Department as he needs to get an honest attorney general who will prosecute the crimes of the Obamas and the Clintons. If they go after Donald Trump Jr., I think it will show that the president's advisors, who've been telling him for months, this isn't aimed at you, don't worry, we can clear this all up, have been wrong. Thank goodness that he has Rudy Giuliani, who is at least a wartime conciliary, ready to go to war. As Rudy said today, if they try to remove this president, there will be a people's revolt, and there will. So, yeah, I think Armageddon is around the corner. We're about to get it on. Adam Schiff and the boys want to rumble. I'm ready. Let's do it.
That's Roger Stone. Roger Stone isn't just well-dressed, even his chairs are well-dressed, ladies and gentlemen. Case in point today.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to The War Room. Roger Stone is with us now. And he has said he will open up the phone lines to take your phone calls in the last two segments of this hour. So that phone number is 888-201-2244. 888-201-2244. Your questions for Roger Stone, myself, or any concerns in general. We will open up the phone lines in the next two segments. And then Professor Daryl Hamamoto joins me for the third hour. Man, Roger, how about this one, though? Now, people need to understand how deep the propaganda runs on these networks like CNN and in the Democrat Party, where, for example, like Elizabeth Warren, whenever she talks about the separation of families at the border, she always uses the phrase mama and baby. That's her buzzword. That's her propaganda. She knows it. It's trained. And she uses those sensitive words, mama and baby, to try to trigger an emotional response in her audience. That's 110% Nazi-style propaganda, using linguistics and emotions and words to trigger a response to morph your politics and your view of reality. So every time you hear Elizabeth Warren talk about it, you'll notice she says mamas and babies. That's her 100%. She's a propaganda artist. You have CNN and MSNBC yesterday saying the word impeachment 222 times in one day. If you don't think that's a direct protocol from the powers that be, Phil Griffin and Zucker of CNN, then you don't understand what you're dealing with, folks. These are propaganda networks. They had an imperative to say impeachment as many times as possible, just like Elizabeth Warren has a prerogative to say mama and baby to propagandize you about what's happening at the border. But Roger, I wanted to get your take on this. Paris Denard, a couple nights ago on CNN with Jim Sciotte, who are you? Nobody knows. Basically called out Phil Mudd for being a total liar, called out Phil Mudd, and Phil Mudd went into some fake CIA. I mean, he's literally a CIA operative on CNN acting, ladies and gentlemen. Phil Mudd is a literal CIA operative on CNN acting. So he destroys Paris Denard, but now all of a sudden what's happening to Paris Denard? He's being attacked by the left for an alleged sexual assault. Are you buying this at all? I mean, can you believe how low these people have gone, Roger?
He's being attacked because he's a black man for Donald Trump. That's why he's being attacked. Look, Alex Jones really connected the dots on this, and it's very important that people understand how these things are related. The effort to completely ban InfoWars, to knock Alex Jones and everybody who works so hard here at InfoWars off the internet, off the face of social media, is a precursor to their second move. Take away our guns, strip us of our Second Amendment rights, and then make your move on Trump. One, two, three. This is what's happening. They want to shut Alex Jones and everyone who works here at InfoWars down because we are the most effective defenders of Trump and his agenda. This was the signal that this was all coming down. They're not just trying to silence us because we aggravate them. They're trying to silence us for the takedown of a duly elected president in a coup d'etat. Meanwhile, they have this wild hypocrisy. Senator Warner from Virginia makes millions of dollars on inside information on the housing market that he gains as a member of the U.S. Senate, and then he short stocks and makes a fortune, but nothing happens. Duncan Hunter buys a cheeseburger out of the wrong draw, and they're trying to send him to jail. This is the weird double standard of the liberals in the media and the liberals at the Justice Department.
It's just sad, Roger, that they don't even care about reality. They don't even care about the future. They don't even care about truth. They don't care about this country. It's all about destroying who they think is their enemy. It's all about destroying whatever they think is impure in this country. And it's dangerous. It's sad. And I never really even thought of that. I mean, to think that they would try to pull something off like this, where they get rid of the First Amendment, then come after the Second Amendment, and that's when they can have their full-on tyrannical overthrow when they disarm the Americans. That's not going to happen. But I guess they assume if they actually did something like that and tried to disarm Americans, that would result in a standoff, you know, from my cold dead hands. Oh, but guess what? The only people reporting would be the people on Fox like Shep Smith. and CNN and MSNBC, and you would never hear about how they came for the guns. You would never hear about how the UN invaded America. No, because they won't let you talk about that on CNN or MSNBC. I mean, this is the rollout of totalitarian government that Trump has stopped, that they're trying to overthrow.
Well, what they didn't anticipate is the backlash. I mean, you say it can't succeed, but to a certain extent, it has succeeded. They succeeded in knocking Alex Jones off of YouTube, off of Facebook, off of Twitter, off of Apple, off of iTunes, off of Spotify. I can go on and on. What they didn't anticipate is the surge of patriots who say, wait a minute, I want to hear what Alex Jones has to say. I'm going to go to the InfoWars site and sign up for the podcast, or I'm going to go to another platform and listen to him, or I'm going to listen to him on the radio here in Houston today because he's on in this market. More people listening to Alex Jones or watching Alex Jones today than there were before they moved to decapitate us. It's ironic because the people like truth. The people are interested when you have something to tell them. So it's backfiring spectacularly. Last week, earlier this week, the ACLU came out against the muzzling of Alex Jones. So I think this has spectacularly failed, but they don't want Alex Jones rallying the troops when they try to take down Trump. They want to make sure that he can't be heard. This is part of their plan. It's also a very good reason, Owen, for people to go to the InfoWars.com site right now. We can't wage this war without a war chest. We cannot go head to head with George Soros and these other Nazi collaborators and left-wing totalitarians unless you have our back. If you are not interested in one of our cutting-edge nutraceuticals, and you should be, because the InfoWars products, particularly their all-natural health products, are the very best. If you're not interested in a T-shirt or a copy of my latest book, Stone's Rules, there's a place on the site where you can go to make a contribution. $25, $50, $100, $500. Every penny gets plowed back into the fight by Alex Jones. There's nobody profiteering here, folks. We put everything back in the fight for America. We are pressed as never before. I can't even imagine the legal fees Alex Jones is racking up in this fight against the lawfare by the left. My own legal costs are going to run $2, maybe $3 million. But I'm not going to fold like Michael Cohen. I'm going to fight right to the bitter end, but only if the InfoWars audience has our back. Go to stonedefensefund.com right now. Go to the InfoWars store right now. Make a contribution or pick up two or three of our great products. We will never give up the fight as long as we know we have your support. Remember, InfoWars is the test case. If they succeed in silencing us, Rush Limbaugh, Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Michael Savage, and all these other voices for freedom, they will be kneecapped next. We are the test case. Don't let them take us down. Show that you will fight back. You can do it right now by going to the InfoWars.com site. We will stand up.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show. Warning, this broadcast contains subject matter
that might trigger
liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
We're taking your calls here on The War Room with Roger Stone for the next two segments. So let's not hesitate and let's go right out to Joey. Calling in from New York. Go ahead, Joey. You're on the air with Roger Stone.
Hey, Owen. Hey, Roger. Awesome to be here.
Thanks for calling.
So, Roger and you guys, I was wondering when they impeach Trump, if they do, to see, would it spiral martial law, do you think? Or would it do...
I'm sorry. Repeat that. If they did what to Trump?
If they impeach Trump, would they... cause martial law to take place after that?
Well, the impeachment process wouldn't bring martial law about. If martial law had to come out, that'd be because of some social uprising or social unrest. Roger, your response?
Well, first of all, I think it's important that people understand the process, because referring to the removal of the president as impeachment is technically incorrect. The process is outlined by the Constitution. It requires a bill of impeachment to pass the U.S. House of Representatives. That's like an indictment in a federal court system. Then there's a trial in the U.S. Senate, and there's debate and argument, just like a trial in front of a judge in a court. And then the Senate would vote, but it requires two-thirds of the Senate to remove Donald Trump. So if that were to come to pass, the new president, who may or may not be Mike Pence, because if they have the votes, they might remove both of them just because they can, could declare martial law in order to put down the citizen revolt over the outrageous coup d'etat that had been staged. It's a lot of supposition there. I guess my point is simply this. They could win the House in the next elections. They also might not. It's not a sure thing. They all thought it was 6 months ago. But today it looks to me like a battle. Let's just say, for the sake of discussion, that the Democrats do win the House. They could pass a bill of impeachment, but then it requires two-thirds of the Senate to remove Trump. That's a very high barrier when you have 4% economic growth and a Republican majority. Even four or five Republicans could leave the president, and I could think of those who would do so, but that's not enough to remove him. So I think that this is going to be extraordinarily difficult, but they intend to try it anyway. And it is not useful for the president to have his allies in the Senate undermining him by praising Jeff Sessions. This guy is the worst attorney general in American history. This guy makes John Mitchell and Eric Holder look like heroes. He's obsessed with prosecuting people for using medicinal marijuana. He's obsessed with an asset forfeiture program in which the government gets to take everything you own when you're accused of a crime, but before you've been convicted of anything. This is the most ineffective attorney general in our history. Massive crimes took place under Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, and he does nothing. He sees nothing. He's either compromised or he's senile. It's one or the other. But right now, Rod Rosenstein has him in a dog collar and a leash and is leading him around. It's embarrassing, to say the least. The president's absolutely right. Today, there's a story in which Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, says the president may be considering firing Jeff Sessions after the election. Frankly, I think that's too late. Saying that a house cleaning at justice from Sessions on down would cause a citizen revolt, that's exactly why he should do it. Enough of this nonsense. The president must act to save himself. Thank you for your call.
Yeah, and you also had the president suggest removing Philip Mudd's security clearance after his display on CNN this week. But Roger, let me ask you a question in response to that. Does President Donald Trump understand what he means to the people that elected him? Does Donald Trump understand that he literally is a physical representation of America, the last person willing to stand up for America, the last president who's actually pro-America, the last president who stands against PC, the last man who can actually stand against this entire corrupt government that has been poisoning our culture, our society, and our country for decades? Does Donald Trump understand that that's what he represents to these people? And that's why if they did take him out, there would probably be a major uprising. Do you think President Trump understands that?
You know, I think the president has never been accused of lacking for ego. And you can see in his campaign rallies and his campaign style rallies around the country that the people are a great source of strength for him. I think he recognizes, and he said it, that this is bigger than Donald Trump. This is a new American revolution. But those of us who support the president have got to be there for him. And he has to overrule his establishment advisors who have advocated timidity and collapse. The whole idea of the president's lawyer saying, cooperate with Robert Mueller, turn over all the documents you have, don't even read them, just give them to him, I'm sure he'll reach the right fair conclusion, that is a suicide impulse. And it's gotten us to where we are today. Don McGahn, the White House counsel, spends 30 hours being interviewed by Robert Mueller. The president said he knew about it. I don't think he did. If Ty Cobb and his old lawyers told him about it, it was in passing. Don McGahn is John Dean. Please, Don McGahn is now part of the effort to remove the president. The president should have fired him when he learned this. The treachery inside the Trump White House is beyond belief. The number of people working for this president who don't support his agenda and don't wish him well is shocking. Shocking. The good news is that Donald Trump is the most stubborn man you've ever met. He is going to seal our borders. He is going to revive our economy. He is going to implement trade policies that make us a vibrant job market again. They can't dissuade him from these big picture things. Everybody who worked for him, Owen said, no, Mr. President, you've got to keep the Iran nuclear deal in place. It's all agreed to. You're just going to cause problems. You just got to forget about that. No way, Jose. Donald Trump is the most stubborn individual I've ever met. And I say that in a positive sense. He's also one of the toughest guys you've ever met. He's enormously courageous. So I think he will gut this out. And in the end, he will do the right thing. He, too, will fight. And the attack on his son, his namesake, Donald Trump Jr., who is a good man and a patriot and a friend of mine, I think will be the last straw. That will be the defining event that motivates the president to use his power to clean up this corrupt cabal that's trying to undo the results of the last election.
And maybe a little foresight here on the behalf of the deep state to go after Don Jr. You know, I think most people, if you asked, that voted for Trump, you know, who would you like to see come in after Trump? You know what I think they'd say? Trump Jr. And so I think the deep state realizes that Trump Jr. is now a serious candidate for president in the near future. So they want to try to snuff him out before, you know, he runs.
I think he's got a great political potential. I guess if he really likes the business, he's ready to leave the business world for the political world. I'd like to see him run for some other office to prepare him, perhaps. But he's got the same courage as his father. He is an outspoken conservative, and he's not trying to be politically correct. And I know for a fact that he watches InfoWars and he enjoys what we do here. So we can't let him down either. Donald Trump Jr. needs our support because they're about to smear him. You notice they're not going to indict him for his participation in the Trump Tower meeting. That's because the meeting was perfectly legal and no law was violated. So by cooperating with Robert Mueller, by sitting down with FBI agents, he's put himself in peril. Because if they find any tiny discrepancy in what you say, they can indict you. He is next on the hit list based on my sources.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
We can't back down.
Stand me up.
If we back down, we lose everything. Hell,
but I won't.
Some people understand that dynamic. Down. Others haven't read history. One more segment with Roger Stone here. We're going to take a couple more phone calls. But understand that the measurements have been taken by the deep state, by the corrupt government, by the shadow government, by the Illuminati, by the globalists, by the forces that are destroying our culture, destroying humanity, and destroying this culture. Those very forces have made the measurements, and they've decided. Should we censor Alex Jones or not? Because if we censor him, it vindicates everything he ever said, and he becomes more powerful than ever. But if we allow him to continue to exist on these platforms, he's going to continue to put information out there, and his audience is going to continue to grow, and he's going to become more worldwide voice of truth. So you know what? They made the measurement. They said censoring Alex Jones is better given the vindication because they want to cut him off where he stands. So they decided censorship was the better measurement there. Then they said, so we want total control over the social media companies and what goes out over them, even though that kind of risks exposing who we really are and the anti-First Amendment and the totalitarian nature of us. Well, you know what? Let's just go ahead and control it all anyway. Who cares if they find out what we are? Alex Jones isn't around to report on it. So those are the measurements they've taken, and that's where they've decided to go. Now, Roger Stone is with me. He's breaking it all down. He's taking your phone calls. Let's go to Stefan in Pennsylvania. You're on the air with Roger Stone. Go ahead.
Owen, Roger, forgive them for they know not what they do. And, I mean, we only got to really look back at the last 2 years and see the change in the political landscape and how many things that were deemed, you know, kind of a conspiracy such as deep state or, you know, a shadow government now are pretty much household terms that everyone realizes. So even though it may look, you know, bleak and like we're not going to an end that, you know, justified, I feel like over time, as more information comes to the surface, all of this will be resolved rightfully.
Well, for me, it's like this. It's like I'm standing here watching someone, watching some devil, watching some cannibal, literally just, excuse me for these graphics, but I'm telling you how it feels to me. It's like I'm standing here watching someone stab my dog to death. It's like I'm sitting here watching someone stab my dog to death, but I'm not allowed to go save my dog or go protect my dog because I'll be called a racist and I'll be the one said, you're causing violence when I'm just jumping in to try to save my dog. That's the dynamic, and they have me handcuffed and tied at the feet too. So I'm totally tied up, and if I even try to protect my dog, I'll be called a racist, xenophobe, bigot who's causing violence in the country. So that's like how it feels to me. That's why I get up here and I seem like a madman half the time. Roger, does that analogy make sense?
No, I think you're right on the money. You can kind of picture this, Owen. Just think about it. The Trilateral Commission is going around. They're all sitting around a big table. And they say, all right, it's time to make our move on Trump. We can't find any Russian collusion. We've looked everywhere. We're going to have to fabricate something, maybe obstruction of justice or something. And then one guy says, yeah, but you know what? What about this guy, Alex Jones? This guy's got a big mouth. Man, he has millions of people listening to him, and they're very loyal and very motivated. We got to do something about him first. We got to shut him up. We got to shut him down. Otherwise, when we make our move on Trump, he might rally the people. They might resist us. And then another guy says, well, you know where we start? Let's knock him off of all social media platforms. We'll take him off of Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. We'll just shut the SOB down, and he won't be able to rally the people. And that's exactly what we see happening. The New York Times is working on a hit piece on Alex Jones. It's going to be something. This reporter has contacted me with a list of questions. They want to know when Jones stopped beating his wife. They wanted to know how long he's been taking payoffs from Vladimir Putin. I'm only slightly exaggerating. This is going to be the hit job of all time. But it won't stop Alex Jones. What they don't understand is the harder you hit him, the more he will come back at you. This guy is a patriot. He's not doing this for the money, folks. Everything that comes in at InfoWars, he plows right back into our expansion or into defending us. It's why we need people's support. They are using this whole phony argument that we're the violent ones. Alex Jones is advocating violence. Wrong. Alex Jones is saying we will defend ourselves against violence. And as you know, it's not the same thing. Thank you very much for your call. Owen, let's go to the next caller.
Sure. We've got Wild in Wisconsin. Go ahead, Wild.
Hi, Roger. Hi, Owen. I got three questions. 7 points and 2 plugs, one for the front hole and one for the rabbit hole. No, I'm just joking. Roger, this question is just for you, and it's regarding the economy. I was wondering, beyond China, Russia, all exterior countries, including them, isn't the biggest threat the head of these major corporations that are willing to sabotage the U.S. economy and therefore the world economy? For their
or how about even our security infrastructure, like right. Apple selling the keys to the kingdom to China?
Yeah, if this were 1930, Well, if this were 1930, Tim Cook would be up on charges of treason. They basically are putting corporate profits ahead of their home country by selling the Chinese the keys to the system that contains all of our defense intelligence. It is outrageous. I mean, they basically are going to sell the Chinese the piano wire with which to strangle us, and they're doing it for a mess of pottage. They're doing it for the money. Yes, the multinational corporations, particularly Big Pharma, are the real villains on the global stage today. That's why we oppose them. That's why they wanted no part of the election of Donald Trump. You see, he's the first president in modern times who doesn't owe anybody, who isn't owned by anybody. He can't be bought because he's a billionaire. He can't be bullied because he believes in Americana and he's got an enormous amount of courage. That's why they have to get rid of him. He can't be co-opted. He can't be managed. He's a force of nature, and he's bringing America back, and that's not part of their plan. Their plan is to erase our border with Mexico and Canada and have one world government. Trump stands in opposition to all of that, as we do here at InfoWars, and that's why we are such a danger to them.
Anything else, Wild?
Yeah, thank you. You know, I think the American people elected President Trump because of the whole like grab by the front hole thing. And I think he should just grab these front holers and get it over with so we can all get on with our lives. I know he's got it in him.
You know, grab him by the front hole. No, I actually agree. I'm sick of this. Everybody knows who these people are. But I'll tell you, Donald Trump is smart. He's smarter than probably most of us. And there's one thing that I've learned in life that I know Roger's learned in life, and I'm sure that Trump has mastered, and that is always keep the ace up your sleeve, Roger. Always have the ace up your sleeve every time. Whenever there's a volatile situation and people are coming after you, you sit back, you sit on your hind legs, and you just shake your head and you observe. And then as soon as they get ready to gnaw at your neck, that's when you pull out the ace of spades and say, gotcha.
Let me ask you something, Owen. Is it difficult to have the ace up your sleeve when you're wearing a T-shirt? I wondered about that.
It's a little harder because you kind of have to stuff it up closer to the armpit so that people can't see it, but it's still possible.
Well, Trump does hold all the cards in terms of the power to end this national nightmare. He's got an entrenched opposition inside his own government, and they are determined to remove him under any by any means necessary. This next 60 days are going to be absolutely crucial. The people who are telling the president that if you remove Sessions, Rosenstein, Mueller, and the other deep staters, you'll be impeached have it exactly backwards. If he does not remove them, he will be impeached and convicted potentially. That's why he has to move today. You folks need to move today by going to the InfoWars.com store and recognize that this broadcast would not be possible without your loyal support. Owen and I are only here because you have our backs. We work very hard to bring you a good program every day and bring you the latest alternative news about what's really going on in Washington and around the world. We can't do it unless you go to the site and load up on our terrific products, whether it's a book, a T-shirt, a nutraceutical, or whether you just send a contribution. It helps the fight for freedom. It helps the fight to preserve the First Amendment and to keep InfoWars bigger, stronger, and better than ever. We need your support. We're not crying wolf. There is an effort to destroy us and shut us down. We're willing to fight, but you have to be in the trench with us. Please go to the InfoWars.com site right now and pick up some of our best products. Many thank you, and God bless you.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
Decoding enemy transmissions
so you get the truth.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at InfoWars.com/show.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I've just got this video. Sarah Sanders, our heroic press secretary, just unbelievable the abuse that she takes from this disgusting, despicable anti-American media every day. But we've got a clip now. Okay, this is the latest Sarah Huckabee Sanders press conference. Apparently, this is the greatest one ever. Okay, let's go to the latest Sarah Huckabee Sanders press conference.
I need a drink. Okay, idiots, are you ready? I just can't stand the faces of you people. Those dead, questioning eyes. You dummies don't matter. Greedo?
What happens when I scratch a horseradish all over my face?
Now, why would you do this?
Well, I'm definitely gonna scrape it somewhere.
Yeah, you don't matter. Mangy?
Okay, my beard itches pretty bad. Is this because of my bugs?
You have literal bugs?
Uh-huh. I think it's mainly bed bugs.
Okay, you gotta go.
Wait, is this about the bugs?
Yeah, it is. Stank?
Yeah, when is the Roswell
and
earring?
You really thought to take your question? You suck.
Hey, the way you talk to me, I mean, do you need to talk so evil?
Do you need to look like a stuffed baked potato in that Walmart shirt? Because you suck. Lanky?
It's been a whole hour since Kristen sat on my whistle.
I did not sit on it.
Then where's my whistle?
It's a really important issue, chump.
Yeah, what about guys like me, you know? Like, our eyes are really honest, but then our brain's got a violent virus.
I could not care less. Creature?
How can I tell if my Labrador is female?
Easy, you suck. Let's see, Sasquatch Steven.
Would you rub my feet if I tickled yours?
You're weird. Nah, nope.
Not even fun tickles?
What is that? Listen, I'm a punchy and I'll punch in your esophagus.
Great.
Chocolate curl.
You know how I was part of a gang that made bed quilts?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this one guy, Benji Binkleman, had this horrible breast problem.
Okay, so maybe we'll just wrap that up, turd.
What I really need is a craft table, a magic wand, and someone to feed me pickles.
Okay, Jeeves.
Do you feel you prefer ice sheets or maybe like summer rain?
Or I could feed you to the polar bears.
All right.
Gina.
It's Gina.
That's what I said. Gina. Gina. I'm sorry? Gina? Yeah, I don't know. Chachi? Stink leg? Bork? Varicose Ken? This jerk?
Hey, I'm crazy about you. When can I see you?
You know, never sounds like a good day.
Hey, I'm sensitive, yet dangerous, and I make nachos.
Okay, to be honest, I think that most people in the world will find you disappointing.
Why are you saying this?
Because you suck.
Wait a minute. Roast beef for sale, marriages for lemonade. It's all we will get.
I'll bury you people.
I just want to know what happened to that whistle. Is it a Bill Clinton rape whistle? These are the questions that I need answered. All right, so a little humor there to bring me back down to earth here. That's a rendition from Bad Lip Reading. Of course, the viral videos that they do where it's obviously fake. They just dub voices over. I mean, it is amazing, though, how accurate they're able to get the words with the lips. I mean, that is a serious talent they have for editing that and picking and choosing their words. So, okay, that is a joke. That was not an actual Sarah Huckabee Sanders press conference before Media Matters thinks that I just got trolled by Bad Lip Reading. But you know what? That's pretty much, I think that's even better than the real press secretary press conferences. Those are pretty entertaining too, though. But I wonder if that's what Sarah Huckabee Sanders is actually thinking in her head, like, man, there is not enough whiskey on planet Earth to make me want to deal with these people every time she has to get up to deal with people like Jim Acosta. Little crybaby Acosta. You know, I'll give him credit. He may be a crybaby and a wuss, but at least he spoke to Millie Weaver. I'll give him credit for that. Daryl Hamamoto is joining me now, and he is just an expert at everything. His resume here is like 5 pages long. I'm not even going to get into it. But obviously, people know about his work. He's been on the Alex Jones Show before. This is the first time I'm joined by him, so I'm very honored for him to take time out and join me here on the War Room. And there is a litany of subjects that Professor Hamamoto wanted to get into today. And I sent him an email this morning, and I said, you know, you seem to be an expert on just about everything. I'm curious if you'd be willing to talk about weather weapons and, you know, actual man-made weather events, not man-made global warming, but actual man-made weather events, cloud seeding, HARP, whatever it is. You've heard all the stuff. And he said, yeah, let's absolutely get into that. And he started immediately going down the rabbit hole. So, Professor Hamamoto, thank you for joining me today.
It's good to be with you, Owen, and hello to our friends and neighbors in the audience and across the world.
Yes, and they're trying to censor them from getting this material, but we just blast through it anyway against the censorship. So, of course, you're familiar with that. You're very well studied in Asian history, and you know what happens in China.
That's right, and I'm coming to you from Da Nang, Vietnam, where there's no internet censorship that I can tell, except for a protest in early June against Chinese-style Facebook censorship. So the people here are mobilized against censorship here in a officially Marxist-Leninist nation, right? They teach Marxism, it's mandatory. Marxism and Leninism is a mandatory curricular item in the universities and the schools, whereas in the United States universities, it's an unofficial doctrine.
But yeah, I was going to say, they still teach it. It's just not official.
Exactly, but they have more finesse and panache here. I don't see very many LARPers, right, live-action role players with purple hair, or any of these Antifa thugs running around. They're too busy working. They're too busy building the country and taking pride in their nation and their culture that goes back a couple thousand years. That's what's going on right now in the streets here in Vietnam.
You know, that's amazing. But you know, that is, I mean, honestly, if you want to talk about, like, you know, pride of heritage and culture, I think that the You could probably say that Asian countries are some of the most prideful people in their heritage and their culture. And then you look at what people in America have done with our history and our heritage and our culture. They just spit on it now. I mean, people in China, say what you want about the Chai Coms. I'm not saying I support them, but whether they're in fear for their life or not, they're not going to protest China. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they at least, even though the government might, you know, disappear them, they still have enough pride in China to stand for an anthem or say, you know, President Xi is God or something. I mean, it's amazing.
Absolutely. They're quite nationalistic. In fact, you might even say that the government orchestrates a lot of the ultra-nationalistic sentiment amongst the population. The Vietnamese people are very much interested in preserving their national sovereignty. They believe in sovereignty. They've been fighting for it for hundreds of years. They even fought for their sovereignty against the United Nations and the U.S. during the war, the American Wars, as they call it. Whereas the United States, we have the leadership that is intent, not the Donald Trump administration, of course, but the crypto state, the so-called dark state. It's astounding that I was listening to Alex Jones a little bit earlier today that, if I heard him correctly, he said Robert Mueller is part of the Astor family, right? The Astor bloodlines.
Yes.
So we have these people. Yeah, it's one of the bloodlines of the Illuminati, according to Fritz Springmeier. But you have these people as part of the crypto state who are intent, these globalists, they're all banking families, all hereditary power. They're intent on demolishing American sovereignty, which has been the beacon to the rest of the world. The Vietnamese people have the utmost respect, even though it's a Marxist-Leninist state, have the utmost respect for the United States and the American people.
Well, it's amazing to hear that, because you can go, I haven't traveled the world, but I was recently, I was in Brazil last year, and I remember I was down there and I was speaking to Brazilians and I was speaking to other people that were touring, like people from South America. And it's amazing because Brazilian people, very prideful people, very proud of their heritage, very proud of the flag. I mean, that's one thing that unites Brazilians is they're all proud to be Brazilian. They'll take that to their grave with them. And that used to be something that Americans can claim. But now you talk to all these people and they see it and they're shocked by it. And it's weak and it makes America look weak. And they say, Why do the young people in America hate your country? Don't they realize everything America's done for the world? Don't they realize they live in the greatest country on earth? And I'm just sitting back like, look, man, I mean, they're being propagandized. They're being lied to by the media. They're being lied to by their colleges. It's Chinese propaganda. It's old Soviet propaganda. It's communist propaganda. So we're under our nation is under attack right now from communist propaganda. And people around the world are wondering, what happened to America's youth? They used to be proud. They used to be gritty. They used to be tough. They used to say sticks and stones don't break my bones. Now, I got a story out of Illinois. A mom allows an 8-year-old to walk the dog down the block. Child Protective Services are called. The police are called. You have protests at college campuses against America, and the world is watching like, what in the hell is happening to this country? So is it the same kind of story in Vietnam? Are people seeing the collapse of American pride, saying, what is going on over there?
Well, they think that some aspects of American society of the present are kind of weird and strange. I don't think they spend a lot of time in trying to figure it out. They're too busy trying to improve their position in the world. They want to become respected as a world-class nation. And from my preliminary investigations here, my observation, I think they're well on the way. But to get back to your comment about what happened to America, I think the issue is that we have an entire generation of young people who don't go anywhere. They're on their computers. They're live action role players. They don't get out of the country. And toward that end, it's the beginning of the school year right now, right? August, September, October. I would encourage everybody that is currently enrolled at the college, at the university, to immediately drop out, try to get some of your tuition funds back, take mommy's and daddy's money and start traveling the world. Go to Southeast Asia, go to China, go to the Indian subcontinent, go to Europe, go to Western Europe, go anywhere. Just get out of the United States and just see how other people around the world live. And that in itself will be a huge improvement over the propaganda that you're getting from the schools of education, like the University of Illinois, Chicago, where Billy Boy Ayers teaches, or at least did teach. I think a lot of this is coming from our schools of education, the Columbia School of Education, the Berkeley School of Education, the UCLA School of Education. The professors are stay-at-homes. The students are stay-at-homes. The administrators, of course, they go on junkets every once in a while. But they don't leave the United States for any extent of time. So I would encourage all undergraduates, American undergraduates, to take what Europeans, especially British people, call a gap year. Just take off a year or two. And in fact, some of the elite colleges, universities here in the United States encourage that. I think Harvard and Yale and other elite institutions will allow you a deferred admission. They'll give you a year. They understand how important it is to get a broader perspective of our world. And you will see how the United States stacks up with other countries. And you will see the universal admiration that you will receive from anybody that you encounter just by speaking American English. It's your passport. And they're going to be scratching their head while you're there, while you're interested in their country. But
And they'll really respect you if you can speak the language of their home country, too. But, you know, this is such a great point, and I was having the crew pull this up. It's like a record. It's record numbers right now, the amount of Americans that never leave their hometown. It's record numbers of Americans that never even leave the United States. The crew is pulling up all these stats right now. I remember reading these stories over the years. And, you know, and I've talked to people, too, that have traveled abroad. It's like, I have friends that love France. They love Paris. They love going to Paris. But it's the same story. It's like with me, I loved being in Brazil. I loved the cities I traveled to in Brazil. I can't wait to go back to Brazil. However, the lifestyle that we have here, the standard of living that we have here, I mean, just the quality of our homes. I mean, even someone of meager stature probably has a better living situation in America than 90% of the world. And until they actually see that, they'll never understand it, because in America, they look at Kardashian and all these rich people and they think, oh, everybody's supposed to be like that. No, that's less than 1% of the world.
You realize that when...
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to the War Room. Final hour here with Professor Daryl Hamamoto. His resume is about 5 pages long, so I'm going to spare you. But we got a lot to talk about here, and he gave me a big list of things that we're going to get into. But I wanted to get into this with him today, and I assumed that he was very knowledgeable on these situations, and of course he is. So let me just show him what I'm talking about. First, let's go back to August 9th. Now, everybody knows about the hurricane that is lining up what appears to hit Hawaii right now. Now, back on August 9th, hold it right there, guys. Now, what you're looking at right now is the morphed integrated microwave imagery at CIMSS, total precipitable water, mimic TPW. This is a radar graph that you can find online. It's always updating. It's always archiving. And it shows you worldwide weather patterns. Now, back on August 9th, there was either this hurricane or another hurricane that was winding up to hit Hawaii when an energy wave came out of Antarctica. Now, call me crazy, call me a conspiracy theorist. I'm going to show you right now from August 9th, an energy wave or whatever you want to call it being fired out of Antarctica, split two hurricanes that were forming in the Pacific Ocean about to hit Hawaii. Guys, go ahead and roll that B-roll. So here's the B-roll. Now watch what comes out of Antarctica here as two hurricanes are forming in Hawaii. Boom, an energy beam. See if you guys can just pause it on that still frame so that Professor, boom, right there. See if you guys can, right there. There's the still frame right there. What is that coming out of Antarctica? Splits two hurricanes. And you can clearly tell once that wave or whatever it is dissipates, so do the hurricanes. Let's play that one more time so the audience can see it. So again, this is from August 9th. Two hurricanes forming in the Pacific. A wave of energy splits them from Antarctica and they both dissipate. Flash forward to a couple weeks later. It's now today. And yesterday, now guys, let's go to yesterday. Same chart. Same reading, same radar, same hurricane or a different hurricane now forming to hit Hawaii. And what happens? Another energy wave or beam or what have you comes out of Antarctica. Same pattern, same area of the Pacific, right as hurricanes are set to hit Hawaii. Now, I don't know what's going on here. I'm not claiming to have an answer. I'm just showing you what's going on and asking if this has anything to do with the hurricane or perhaps even maybe something going on in the South China Sea with China trying to take it over. So, Professor Hamamoto, you've now seen what I'm talking about. You're well-versed on these issues. And again, China and Russia have both been fully public now as far as their weather weapons are concerned or their ability to control the weather is concerned. They're not so open about it in America now. But what do you think that is? I mean, am I crazy? I mean, you saw that coming out of Antarctica, splitting these hurricanes. What is that?
Oh, and that's an amazing graphic. I think we've seen a number of the channels on YouTube that show us a different bizarre weather that's been occurring across the world in the United States that are listed in YouTube. But in watching that graphic, I'm remembering all of a sudden that didn't John Skull and Bones Kerry, the former presidential candidate against George W. Bush, another Skull and Bonesman, didn't he go to, he made a quick trip to Antarctica not too long ago, did he not?
No, you're 100% accurate. John Kerry was in Antarctica, I think it was 2 years ago or less.
I don't know. Was he checking out the hardware or the facility? There are all kinds of different rumors and speculation. And I think they need to be checked out. Maybe John Kerry should be visited by some of our intelligence people. Maybe this would be a good use of the FBI instead of trying to indict President Trump on these crazy charges. But maybe the FBI can interview John Kerry and ask him what he was doing down there and what he found out.
Yeah, why is John Kerry going down to Antarctica just a week after the election to discuss climate change? And then you have energy beams coming out of Antarctica splitting hurricanes. Yeah, what is John Kerry doing down there? That's awfully suspicious to me.
You know, there might be a direct line that connects that facility down in Antarctica to the Kalorama neighborhood of Washington, D.C., where the Obama Foundation is housed. In a 8,400 square foot home, that I believe is in part subsidized by the U.S. taxpayer. Kalorama, ladies and gentlemen, K-A-L-A-O-R-A-M-A, the Obama Foundation.
Professor Hamamoto, why do you think it's one of the biggest stories in American politics? The Democrats try to use it for political leverage to say man-made global warming, man-made climate change, men are changing the planet. And they say it's because you power your house with electricity. You know, you drive a six-cylinder car around. You know, you're causing the planet to die. You're causing global warming. Of course, an absurd notion, volcanic activity, sun activity, 5 billion times the amount of whatever carbon footprint any humans will ever put on Earth. Not to say we're not impacting the environment. It's just a joke for us to act like we're manipulating it to the extent that we're going to kill it. No, if anything's going to hurt the environment, it's going to be the sun. It's going to be other planets out there. But I digress. There are actual man-made weather manipulation technologies. Russia has already gone public with it. China has already gone public with it. A lot of it's been declassified in the USA, just nobody talks about it. But every day, Democrats try to put out this notion of man-made global warming, quit driving your car around, but they ignore cloud seeding. They ignore whatever's going on in Antarctica. Like the real actual technologies that men have made to manipulate weather, they don't mention that. They just say, you're not allowed to drive a car. I mean, how ridiculous is that?
It's utterly ridiculous, and it's not a conspiracy theory, because I think this is in 2017, after about a decade worth of artificial drought in California, and it was a fake drought. It was a means of the globalist entity called Nestle of Switzerland in order to buy off California water supplies for pennies on the dollar. But after 10 years of artificial drought, which, of course, helps choke off the food supply, it has a whole set of implications there. It's not just about water, right? What I did is I checked on a flash of insight. I just started putting some words in there, and I came out with two documents, and I have copies of them, and they were posted by a friend of mine because they're open source. And these were two huge studies, pamphlet size, monograph size, that were produced by my very own at the time. As you know, I've been forced into retirement because I'm just too good of a researcher for the University of California, Janet, Big Sister Napolitano. But I found two of these booklets on specifically weather warfare. So from their own documents, and these are from the early to mid-1960s, these two documents, they were talking about cloud seeding and weather modification. I think that's the term they use, weather modification. So this science is real. The technology is real. And we're talking about the 60s. You just put up a graphic there on Operation Popeye. I'm here in Vietnam. Operation Popeye was used against the Vietnamese people to immobilize supposedly the Viet Cong, is what the military called it, infrastructure. Just like they used dioxin or Agent Orange to defoliate much of the countryside and to cut off their food supply.
Now, this is important. I want to keep it right there. Let's stay on this notion as we go to break, because we're now reaching next level warfare that most people aren't even aware of.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room
with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
All right, we're discussing something here with Professor Daryl Hamamoto that's going to pique a lot of people's interest, and we're showing you the evidence. I'm not just up here telling you things without showing you so that you think I'm crazy. And actually, the crew has now realized that last August, the same phenomenon happened with, I'm just calling it an energy beam coming out of Antarctica, because I don't know what it is. It's an anomaly on the radar that is clearly a pattern, clearly coming from Antarctica, and it's clearly manipulating the weather. And this graph that we're showing you now was from last August the 12th. We then had one happen on August the 9th. That's the one they're showing you now. And then yesterday, just at about noon, a third one came out and blasted the Pacific Ocean. And guess what? hurricane activity is prevalent in the Pacific Ocean while these beams are being fired. So what does it mean? I don't know. I'm just telling you the facts. Now, Professor Amamoto is with me, and I want to go down a new angle of this that I'm not hearing too many people talk about. Obviously, President Trump has launched the Space Force, and a lot of people are kind of curious about it. You know, maybe it's inevitable for us to have something out in space militarized. The Chinese are doing it. But, Professor Amamoto, I have a conspiracy theory. When I have a conspiracy theory, I say that so that people know this is my conspiracy theory. Would it be so out of the realm of possibility that the Chinese, who admit that they can manipulate the weather, who have been caught using weather weapons before, as you reported in the last segment, in California to cause droughts, and let's also remember, Chinese individuals were making deals with Harry Reid and Harry Reid's family to buy up a bunch of land in Nevada dirt cheap. So these are Democrats cutting deals with the Chinese. You got Dianne Feinstein, who's basically a Chinese spy for 20 years, driving around with a Chinese spy. Yeah, she didn't know that was going on, sure. But what's going on right now, as there is the book right there. Flash that up one more time, Professor. There is the book. And
this is the book that was published in 2014, which talks about the Democratic sellout to the Chadcoms. And I used to teach in the so-called Department of Asian American Studies at UC Davis. And for this incredible piece of scholarship, which is a landmark work here, they refused me a promotion and a raise. So I knew I was on the right track here.
Yeah, I mean, but come on. You know, 1996, the election, you know, Bill Clinton funneling Chinese money into the DNC. You know, nothing to see there. He sold out the rocket propulsion technology. He sold out the nuclear secrets to the Chinese. But let me give you my conspiracy theory. I think we're seeing very strange weather patterns happening in California as far as these wildfires are concerned. Some of them natural, some of them you can put on the Democrats saying they're not backburning, they're not getting rid of the deadwood. But some of these are popping up out of nowhere, and a lot of anomalies with these wildfires that locals are saying, huh, this doesn't seem to make sense. This seems to be targeted, almost weaponized. What do you think? I'm crazy. Could the Chinese right now be trying to destroy California, perhaps burn it to the ground, so that they can come in and buy up all of the land dirt cheap like they tried to do in Nevada? Do you think that's a possibility? And could that be why Trump is launching the Space Force?
I think you're right on track there. I'd take it back even further. Instead of calling Antarctica Antarctica, maybe we should call it what the Third Reich called it, which is Neues Schwabenland, right? Where this advanced technology was being supposedly, according to conspiracy theory, quote unquote, was being transported down there. Perhaps the Chi-Coms have managed to access the what is today what the late great Jim Mars referred to as the Fourth Reich, used because the Chinese are not really developing their own technologies. They're buying it or stealing it through industrial espionage or through their scientists that are at the U.S. universities, assets, intelligence assets, all the way up and down. So it could be, I think, an outgrowth of Third Reich or Fourth Reich technology in Neues Schwabenland with the Chi-Com financing. And you talked about former Senator Harry Reid. Wasn't he beat up or something? He was a complete wreck. He said he fell off his treadmill. Yeah,
he fell off his treadmill. He had like a black eye and like couldn't walk.
I think he was sent a message that, hey, Harry, baby, you better go along. Oh, I'm sorry to make fun of his injury, but
Harry Reid's a crook.
Like that, by falling off a treadmill, that's for sure, even if you're Harry Reid. So I think he was sent a strong message by some agents of influence, and the message was received loud and clear. Now, you mentioned I didn't think you used the term directed energy weapons, but you might recall that there were a series of mysterious fires back in August 2018 in California County. They're quite affluent counties, by the way, but there are also a lot of libertarian people who don't want to live in the madness of politically correct San Francisco and Oakland, East Bay areas. Out in Yolo, this is verdant wine country, by the way, and there's a lot of former older hippies and whatnot, entrepreneurs, a lot of vintners, wine growers, independent agriculturalists who made a very good living there. And perhaps that is the case. The Chi-Coms want to buy up California for pennies on the dollars. We know that the Chi-Coms, through what sociologists called natal tourism, that the Chi-Coms are sending pregnant women to California to give birth to children who automatically become U.S. citizens, and then they get on the welfare rolls. Many of them really don't need that money because they're well-connected with the Chinese hierarchy, the Red Army, the military. And by the way, I've had any number of students who have these connections. I was very interested in what their social origins are. And most of them do come from families who are in the high-level military hierarchy.
And let's be clear, too. These are intelligent Chinese people that are taking advantage of that system and taking advantage of America. They know exactly what they're doing when they send those pregnant ladies here.
Oh, absolutely. They're sending undergraduates by the droves. In fact, the University of California financial model is predicated on getting all kinds of cash money, charging them out-of-state fees to bring in these undergraduate students. And I had an encounter with one in particular, and it mystified me because she was a straight-up Maoist, a straight-up communist. And I said, well, didn't your family endure the hardship through the Cultural Revolution, so-called? I mean, you had like 60, 70, 80 million fellow Han people committing auto-genocide. And I said, it seems like so irrational that you would espouse communism here in the United States. But then I realized, and by the way, she had this commie look. She had that Antifa look on her face. It's universal. It's part mind control and part hardcore ideology. You see it in the face of the smirking visage of Billy Boy Ayers, for example. And you also see it in Michelle Obama and Barack Obama. Her beard. But anyway, I realized that this student, and I don't know how representative she is that she's sent here especially to promulgate Chinese-style communism amongst her fellow students. And they're hooking up with the Islamists, which are also gaining a lot of ground in the university.
Which is a subject that you wanted to talk about. So let's get into that on the other side of this break. But real quick, we knew that the Russians, the communist Soviet Union, was infiltrating our government in the 70s, infiltrating the universities to preach communism. Do you think that same tactic is now being done by China?
It's being done by China, and it's being done on a far larger order of magnitude than we saw during the Soviet era. And they have the technology on their side these days, social media and means of communicating with Beijing and other.
No, you know what? That's exactly it. Because it used to be the Soviet Russians were just trying. The communists were just trying to infiltrate the education system. China's bought up Hollywood. They're buying up the media. They own the Democrat Party. They're owning social media now. Apple's given China the keys to the kingdom. Google's about to give China the keys to the kingdom. China is literally trying to take over America right now in a soft coup. And Apple and the social media giants and the Democrats in Hollywood are allowing them to do it. This is like red alert.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Final segment here with Professor Hamamoto. I've got him for about three or four more minutes here. And I have one last question for him, and then we're going to let him bounce. It's about 5 a.m. his time. He's burning the midnight oil for us here, so we thank him for that. Professor Hamamoto, you had one of your topics, the rise of Islamicism on college campuses and major universities here in America. So I want to kind of get a little more details on what you think about that. And then how does that relate to, or how do you measure up the radical Islamic compound that was discovered in New Mexico, where you had these individuals that have direct ties to Hamas, direct ties to Linda Sarsour, direct ties to the Democrat Party, direct ties to, I mean, the highest at the Democrat Party, folks. How do you make out the fact that compound get shut down where they're training children to shoot up schools and they even ritualistically sacrificed a child, how does a story like that get barely any news coverage at all?
Owen, that's an incredible story. And we note that David Boss Hogg, the boy wonder, is silent on the matter, including these other people. And that raises suspicions whether there were dark forces within the crypto state that were behind this attack. And I'm not going to state that definitively that that was the case, but we must, for our own security, ask the question whether that's true. This, again, would be another good use of our Federal Bureau of Investigation to check this out, rather than trying to interview strippers and ex-hookers and other women that may or may not.
See, doesn't that show how politicized the FBI has become, Professor?
Absolutely, but it's also a danger to our national security. Not only is it trivial and meaningless, and also, I would say, illegitimate, it's a threat to our national security to put resources, precious, valuable resources, in such a direction. We need to investigate. We need to get at the bottom of this and other suspicious activity. Now, so far as the Islamist question,
go ahead.
Where it's coming from, I think all fingers point back to the university. Just people, InfoWars listeners, fans of Owen Schroyer, students in your 18 to 34 year old demographic, check out your local college and university and tell me whether or not a masjid, a temple, a mosque has been built right across the street from your university. They're going up all over the country. And I predict you're going to see a mass wave of conversions to Islam and, by extension, Islamism. They're not synonymous, right? There is Islam. There's legitimate religious beliefs and organizations. But Islamism is a political mobilization and distortion of the religion of Islam. So there's masjids, there's infrastructure, there are even prayer rooms, there are infrastructure that the universities, publicly funded universities, that are being invested to encourage this direction. And I think this is a constituency that the crypto state really wants to massage. And it's coming again out of the Kalorama neighborhood of Washington, D.C., out of a 8,400-square-foot house, supposedly a private dwelling occupied by the Obamas at public expense.
Well, and Chicago now, Obama's building that library. The community's rejecting it. And it, actually, right. I believe they're saying that he basically stole taxpayer dollars to do it. He didn't even fund it himself. But it's just incredible. I remember there's a huge mosque that is happening here in Austin that's big. It's not really necessarily next to campus. Maybe there's another one. But I remember a few years ago at St. Louis University, I was down there, and I was walking around campus. I was dating a girl there at the time, and they had wear a hijab in solidarity with Muslims Day. And I'm sitting here saying, like, that's like saying wear shackles in solidarity with slavery day. I mean, it's just absurd. No, you're not going to oppress yourself. You're not going to embrace a symbol of oppression. You say rip the hijab off and liberate yourself. This is the West. So it's just amazing that we're dealing with this. And again, folks, if you don't, I think Professor Hamamoto, and I'll get your final comments here and we'll let you go. I think it really shows to me the state of the media and the Democrat Party, that they're protecting this radical Islamic compound that has direct ties to Linda Sarsour, direct ties to Hamas, and direct ties to the Democrat Party. They're clearly trying to cover this up because there is clearly some involvement here. This is radical Islamic terror. Hey, we were told on 9/11, radical Islamic terrorists hate our way of life. They're trying to kill all of us. We started a war over it. Now, 15, 20 years later, we say, oh, no, nothing to see here. They're training to kill our children. Linda Sarsour is promoting anti-American. She's related to these people. She runs the Democrat Party now, the Muslims that are running. So don't look at this, though. I mean, what does that tell you? There's clearly now, I mean, are the Democrats now colluding with radical Islam?
I think certain elements within the Democratic Party are colluding with the Islamists, the political wing of Islam. But I'll leave you with this final suggestion. I think former president, the illegitimate president, Barack Obama, should situate his so-called presidential library, which, by the way, is funded by the American taxpayer. But I think he should cite his library in Jakarta, Indonesia. That would be appropriate, more appropriate. Those are his origins, and those are his. That's where his heart and his political beliefs remain.
I don't know. I think Professor Amamoto, I think that he should actually put it up in South Africa, where he's hiding out now, where the Holocaust against white people is happening, genocide against white people. He seems to be enjoying himself in South Africa now. So I think maybe he'll set it up there, and maybe they can, you know, genocide some white people there. I think he'd be down with that. Professor Amamoto, thank you so much. Thank you for staying up late with us today.
All right, Owen. Thank you.
All right, there goes Professor Amamoto. Now, I have just been given a video, the latest from Jim Acosta. Guys, do we have this ready? Jim Acosta now is going next level. And so we've got the video. Let's go to this exclusive video now from Infowars.com. Jim Acosta going next level.
Standing in this briefing room right now, there is no government official here, but I'll say that the press is not the enemy of the people. But I'll say that the press is not the enemy of the people. The press is not the enemy of the people. The press is not the enemy of the people.
They came in peace.
Maybe we should go out on Pennsylvania Avenue, like these folks who chant CNN sucks and fake news. Maybe we should go out, all journalists should go out on Pennsylvania Avenue and chant, we're not the enemy of the people. We're not the enemy of the people. We're not the enemy of the people. We're not the enemy of the people.
Oh. Great work. Great work. Another Mars Attacks meme put together by Rob Dew. No, I get it, guys. You know, don't put my memes together. Mine are unimportant. Just put Rob's together. No, that's funny stuff. And it's really accurate. You know, it's funny, though, because I'll give Jim Acosta credit. I mean, he may be a total nitwit, but at least he talked to Millie Weaver. At least, I mean, that's human to me. That's humanizing yourself. That's like what Van Jones did. I think the guy's politics are skewed, and I don't understand anything he says on CNN. And he even admits the Russian collusion story is fake news, but he still acts like it's real on CNN. But he talked to me, he had an hour-long conversation with me, so he humanized himself. So, hey, that's one of the biggest problems we have, honestly, in this society, is that so much of what we do becomes dehumanized because it's on a digital world and we don't actually get to meet people. So it just becomes this digital vocal warfare where we never even meet anybody. We just have these preconceived notions about them. I mean, I have to deal with it every day. So, all right, we're about to sign off. Again, folks, go to InfoWarsStore.com. Get the official T-shirt of the War Room for $14.95 right now at InfoWarsStore.com with coupon code War Room. Get it before the month of August is over, ladies and gentlemen, because once the calendar flips to September, the coupon code WARROOM is no longer good for the InfoWars Hexagon logo T-shirt. But with coupon code WARROOM right now at InfoWarsStore.com for the rest of August, you get the official T-shirt of the War Room for $14.95. It's the brand new InfoWars logo Hexagon T-shirt. Very popular. $14.95 with coupon code WARROOM. While you're there, check out the toothpaste, check out the shampoo, check out all the other household items and excellent supplements we have at InfoWarsStore.com. That's how we're able to exist in the midst of all the attack on us and the censorship. All right, that does it for me. What a world. What a crazy time to be alive. But somehow you always manage to stay classy, InfoWarriors.